Truth News Network.
Identity politics is poisoning the American well of freedom.
There is an antidote.
It's right here at TNN,
Truth News Network.
For today's chapter, here's Dan Newman.
And the doctor is here with the antidote. We're talking about the truth. The truth, part one yesterday. We examined and explained some of the hoopla in D.C. regarding the dissemination of information as fact when it has not been true. This includes alleged collusion by the Trump campaign with Russians during the 2016 election cycle and the alleged obstruction of justice during that same time. Today, we're going to move forward, looking deeper into the heretofore mysterious circumstances surrounding the massive negativity that permeates the nation regarding all things political, especially all things regarding Donald Trump, his campaign, his administration. We have not seen such negativity in our country since the 1960s, when young people literally revolted against the U.S. government that was keyed by the Vietnam War. First, we'll address some more of the noise, or as President Trump terms it, fake news, to dispel some of the rumors so you can get your brain around the facts. Then, we will discuss some behind-the-scenes actions that have been and are being taken. Let's dig into obstruction of justice. In part one, we quoted the segment of the legal definition of obstruction of justice in federal law that pertains to obstruction allegations made against the Trump campaign and those associated with the campaign that pertain to the Mueller investigation. But there are other parts to the obstruction law that do not necessarily apply to the campaign, but do apply to others regarding the 2016 election and some matters that have happened since the election. Who are the culprits? Well, let's start with the very obvious one, James Comey. The former FBI director has pretty much kept himself in the limelight before, during, and after the 2016 election. We have in previous offerings here documented his professional and often questionable background. He has a speckled past, no doubt. However, listening to him in speeches, or reading his book, or even listening to his sworn testimonies before Congress, one would think that James Comey is a ray of sunlight in the total darkness of Washington, D.C. And, oh, by the way, in case you didn't know it, he despises President Donald Trump. Unfortunately for Mr. Comey, he has a public past. And unfortunately for James, his past is easily visible to anybody who cares to take a look. James Comey, by federal statute, committed criminal acts while serving as FBI director and since his removal. He has been and still is relying on his buddies in federal law enforcement to protect him from prosecution for his wrongdoing. But if justice is really equal under the law for all, Lady Justice will soon come calling on Mr. Comey. And of course, that will depend on whether Lady Justice really is blind and if justice is really equal under the law. So what specifically did Mr. Comey do? First, he forwarded FBI confidential memos of his meetings with President Trump to his friend at Columbia University, expressly to be disseminated to the press. Comey's doing so violates 18 U.S. Code 798, which states, quote, "It is a violation to disseminate classified information to any unauthorized person." The term unauthorized person means any person who, or agency which, is not authorized to receive information of the category set forth in subsection A of this section by the president or by the head of a department or agency of the U.S. government, which is expressly designated by the president to engage in communication intelligence activities for the U.S. Comey has given two different excuses for his releasing those memos. The first excuse, the memos were not the property of the FBI, that's according to Comey, but were his personal notes. And secondly, his giving them to his buddy was authorized. Why and how? Comey was no longer an FBI employee. But by law, the memos are the property of the U.S. government. In addition to the terms of the federal statute regarding those illegal releases of memos, the FBI employment contract, which Comey signed, clearly states that all such work product documents belong to the FBI even if and after that employee's employment is terminated. What else? Well, he lied under oath, and in doing so, affected an ongoing FBI investigation. Comey stated under oath there was no coordination between the DOJ and the FBI regarding the Clinton email investigation. Recovered text messages between FBI's Peter Strzok and then Department of Justice Attorney Lisa Page exposed that his statement was not truthful. Secondly, either James Comey or fired FBI Assistant Director Andrew McCabe lied to Congress. Now, they both may have lied, but on this one matter, one of the two lied. Comey stated under oath he never personally nor authorized anyone else to release any investigative information to the press. Andrew McCabe, however, in his sworn congressional testimony, stated that he gave information to the media and Comey knew about it, making it authorized dissemination. So, one said it was authorized, one said it wasn't, so one of the two is lying on that subject. And then, number three, Comey testified that the decision to not indict Hillary Clinton for illegal use of a private email server to share those classified information and documents was made shortly before the press conference in which he announced that FBI decision not to prosecute her. It was discovered that he actually penned the note to announce that decision 2 months before the FBI even interviewed Clinton or any of her aides, with documentation, proof, that he lied under oath about that. That is obstruction of justice. There are more examples of Comey obstruction, but for the sake of time, we're going to leave it right there. Who else obstructed, and how did they? Former Attorney General Loretta Lynch. Now, this is a tough one. It is rare for any presidential administration to take legal action against members of their predecessor's administration. Why? Doing so would seem to be taking punitive actions for strictly political purposes or payback, which no one wants to experience when they leave office. However, where there's smoke, remember this, there is always fire. What did Loretta Lynch do? Well, apparently that mysterious and unscheduled meeting between Ms. Lynch and former President Bill Clinton on the tarmac at Sky Harbor Airport in Phoenix was not so unscheduled. According to reports, pilots later debunked that story, saying the meeting was planned and was coordinated. Now, the Clinton Foundation was under investigation by the FBI and the Department of Justice when that meeting occurred. That means former President Bill Clinton was a subject of an ongoing investigation. It is highly irregular for Ms. Lynch, then Attorney General, whose Department of Justice was investigating Bill Clinton as part of the Clinton Foundation, to have a one-on-one confidential meeting. That, my friends, is a conflict of interest. She should have immediately recused herself from anything and all things regarding the Clinton investigation. She did not. James Comey testified that the Attorney General had asked him to call the FBI investigation into the Clinton email issue a matter and not an investigation. If her asking that question was to deflect ordinary investigation into criminal matters, and it probably was, her doing so from her position of authority would be obstruction. And then, additionally, during Russia's hacking campaign against the U.S., intelligence agencies could peer at times into Russian networks and see what had been taken. Early last year, FBI agents received a batch of hacked documents, and one specifically caught their attention. The document, which has been described as both a memo and an email, was written by a Democratic operative who expressed confidence that Ms. Lynch would keep the Clinton investigation from going too far, according to several former officials familiar with that document. Hamstringing the investigation by ordering the FBI director to mislead the public by calling it a matter instead of an investigation perfectly fits the description of keeping the Clinton investigation from going too far. After all, an investigation might go too far for those who wanted to protect Clinton, but a matter never ran that risk. Investigation or matter. Lynch's interference also perfectly fits the description of obstruction of justice. We're just getting started, folks. We've got several more people to tell you about obstruction of justice and some felonious activities that have them facing possible prison sentence time. That's just ahead. Sit tight. Right back after this message from the Truth News Network.
Subway Restaurant's Storytime Theater proudly presents Jack and the Beanstalk.
Fee-fi-fo-fum. I smell something delicious. Hey, little fella, what you got there?
Oh, this? It's the big hot pastrami sub from Subway Restaurants.
That does look tasty.
It sure is. Climbing that beanstalk out there makes you hungry.
You mind if I have a bite?
Sure. I'll trade you for that goose over there with the golden eggs.
You got a deal.
Hungry for something big? Then pick up a big hot pastrami sub from Subway Restaurants. Layer upon layer of delicious hot pastrami stacked high and toasted to flavorful perfection on freshly baked bread. Topped with pickles, mustard, and melted Swiss cheese, it's the perfect way to satisfy any giant-sized appetite. Big Hot Pastrami available at participating restaurants for a limited time only. See restaurants for details. Subway. Eat fresh.
Morning face. You get it when you don't sleep well. This is what happened to Linda.
Morning, guys.
Good morning. Ah, what is that thing?
It's me, Linda.
Oh, my God, it talks! Run!
No, it's me, Linda, from HR.
It looks hungry! Save the children! Save them!
What?
Stay back! I've got mace!
Ow! That went in my eyes!
Quit moving!
It's called beauty sleep for a reason. And there's never been a better time to get some.
Get 20% off IKEA Sultan mattresses. IKEA. Love your home.
Truth, justice, the American way. The Truth News Network. Once again, here's Dan Newman.
We are trying our best to wade through all the noise in Washington, D.C. and give you some facts. We're talking about those who really are guilty of obstruction of justice from the 2016 campaign, the election, and matters since then. And we talked about Loretta Lynch. We talked about James Comey. Let's move along. How about our buddy, Andrew McCabe? The Justice Department's Inspector General submitted a criminal referral for former FBI Director, Deputy Director Andrew McCabe. Inspector General Michael Horowitz referred the matter to the U.S. Attorney's Office in Washington for potential prosecution. That's already happened. McCabe has been harshly criticized for months for alleged anti-Trump bias. He's been investigated for and may be charged about a different topic entirely. You may not know about this. His purported attempts to mislead about his role in a leak at Hillary Clinton's expense. Now, wait a minute. He's in the tank for Hillary Clinton, like the rest of the guys there. The gist is that McCabe orchestrated a leak to a Wall Street Journal reporter shortly before the election, describing private deliberations he'd had with Obama Justice Department officials about an investigation of the Clinton Foundation. McCabe leaked that he had tried to keep this investigation moving forward over an unnamed Justice Department official's resistance. His motivation for leaking about this pending investigation, it appeared, was to rebut an earlier Journal article raising questions about his impartiality in the Clinton email probe, and a planned follow-up piece along similar lines. Once the FBI began looking into how the Clinton Foundation leak happened, Horowitz claims that McCabe repeatedly misled officials about his involvement. You hadn't heard about that one, have you? We heard about Andrew McCabe potentially lying under oath before Congress, but not about that Clinton Foundation investigation. Also, under McCabe's watch, Anthony Weiner's laptop, you know who Anthony Weiner is, Uma Abedin's former husband. Uma Abedin was Hillary Clinton's longtime friend, confidant, and her chief counsel, office, assistant, whatever, throughout her tenure at Secretary of State and continued along during her presidential campaign. Well, Anthony Weiner's laptop was taken into possession of the FBI field office in New York. It was immediately discovered there were potential illegal pictures stored on the laptop of underage girls. McCabe was notified by the Manhattan office of the laptop and its illegal contents. Now, remember, the laptop was up in New York, but McCabe slow-played retrieving that laptop for forensic examination from New York. In doing so, and by not letting then-FBI Director Comey know of the laptop and its contents, McCabe apparently was hiding the evidence of Weiner's wrongdoing until after the November election. Accusations are he was protecting Hillary Clinton, whose chief aide was, as we said, the wife of Anthony Weiner. If true, McCabe, in this instance, also committed obstruction of justice. And we can't leave out Hillary. Hillary Clinton, where do we begin? Let's call this Hillary obstruction of justice plus 18 U.S. Code 798, little letter A, whoever knowingly and willfully communicates, furnishes, transmits, or otherwise makes available to an unauthorized person or publishes or uses in any matter prejudicial in the safety or interest of the U.S. or for the benefit of any foreign government to the detriment of the U.S. and classified information, any classified information concerning the communication intelligence activities of the U.S. or any foreign government, or obtained by the processes of communication intelligence from the communications of any foreign government, knowing the same to have been obtained by such processes, shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 10 years or both. Think about that. Each time, how many times did Hillary use and disseminate classified information on her BlackBerry or her laptop over that unsecured server, knowing that it was unsecure? How about that unsecured server? Based on legal requirements of protecting and keeping confidential documents and classified information, Clinton's use of that non-certified computer server in an unsecured environment was a gross violation of the law. Knowingly is the key word that exposes her. Think about this. Using that server, then Secretary of State Clinton, when traveling in foreign countries, exchanged texts and emails with President Obama from an unsecured BlackBerry, transmitting messages via the server to Obama's secret Gmail account. Multiple violations of multiple statutes by both Hillary and Barack. And just an aside there, everyone now thinks, not everyone, but most people think, that the reason the FBI chose not to recommend prosecuting Hillary Clinton for the use of that unsecured server, because she communicated with and from the President of the United States in that unsecured environment. If they indicted her, they would also have to indict Barack Obama under the same statute. Who wants to be the person that pulls the trigger on indicting Barack Obama, the two-term President of the United States? And then there's 46 CFR 503.59, safeguarding classified information. That statute says all classified information shall be afforded a level of protection against unauthorized disclosure commensurate with its level of classification. Any person having access to and possession of classified information is responsible for protecting it from persons not authorized access to it, to include securing it in approved equipment or facilities whenever it is not under the direct supervision of authorized persons. That basically says you leave your laptop somewhere, you lay your BlackBerry down. It's not ever supposed to be unprotected at all times. When you have it directly in your control, or if it's not on your person, you have it locked in a department-approved piece of equipment or cabinetry where it is legally secure. And fourth, it is safe to say that using an unsecured server and a private non.gov email address, Secretary Clinton grossly violated the law protecting classified documents and information. Notwithstanding her insistence regarding the marked classified status of some of those documents and emails, the fact the server was never certified by the State Department and therefore was not legally an authorized server for use by the department can, under the law, be classified as obstruction of justice. And let's just say technically we're not going to call it obstruction. If so, it would definitely have violated 46 CFR 503.59 and makes it a felony in doing so. Well, let's summarize today, part two, the truth. There is no doubt there was obstruction of justice in the Mueller probe, and there still is obstruction going on, and also in the Clinton email investigation, but apparently not by President Trump or members of his campaign or his administration, at least based on what we know now. But the others, obviously, that we've discussed today have dirty hands. Will there be any prosecution in these cases? At this point, it's hard to say, folks. However, a prosecution is definitely warranted for each of these people under the above examples of felonious activities and other criminal actions that have already been exposed and some that haven't been. However, there are numerous cases in which those guilty of far less serious infractions were sent to prison for their wrongdoing. And there are examples of people who have done far more that have not gone to prison. If these escape penalties for their actions, it will prove the point that many Americans feel is applicable and alive today, that political elites receive special treatment under this Justice Department so far and under previous Justice Departments, the two under President Barack Obama, and have for some time. If so, if that happens, it will definitely be a travesty. But wait, there's more. In The Truth Part 3, that will be released tomorrow, make sure you read or listen to find out what the three amigos have been up to. Who are the three amigos? Well, they are Robert Mueller, Rod Rosenstein, and James Comey. What have those three been up to? I'm not going to give it away right now, but I assure you, it is mind-boggling, and it exposes the worst elitism to date uncovered in the Justice Department. You will shiver to think that such corruption is alive and well in the very government department that is charged with protecting the laws of our nation. And in protecting those laws, protecting us. That's going to wrap it up today. But there is a bunch more on this topic tomorrow. Make sure you tune in. We're glad to have you every day at the Truth News Network.
Facts and evidence is all you'll see and hear on TNN, the Truth News Network. Find it exclusively at truthnewsnet.org.